We are on. Welcome to Ins on Skype.
Yeah, we are both in our homes and not together like we usually are to record. So this is very, very new for us. Like a minute new. Like it's a minute old that we've been doing this.
Yeah. So we're trying our best here. We know it's not going to sound great. But you know, we're trucking along. We're doing everything we can to make sure this project gets out on time and that we do what we can. So yeah. This week was actually a good week in music, I think. And because everyone is so stuck, it is definitely proving that right now is like the golden age of streaming, I would say.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one thing I heard some discourse today earlier that, like, a certain type of, like, playlist streaming is down, which is, like, your morning drive. It's, like, your commute songs, your commute playlist, because people are not commuting, they're working from home. But, like, as a whole, overall, yes, streaming is up because people are bored out of their minds. They don't know what to do with themselves. I know I've been streaming a lot more, but like at the same time, I've also been streaming video and podcasts more too. Like everything's up for me. It's all just content, content, more than usual, which is funny because I usually stream a lot as it is. And then this is like, I didn't think it could become any more, but here we are. And we're just trying to, like, distract ourselves. I assume you're listening to a lot of Maggie Rogers to get through this.
I've been listening to Harry a little bit. It's weird because I am quarantined with Josh.
Yeah.
So when we're listening to music, it's, like, one person plays a playlist and then another person plays a playlist. So, like, we went to see my parents. And we listened to my playlist on the way there, which is 4 hours, and then his on the way back, which was 4 hours. So we split up that way. And we both, because we listen to music, like we show each other music, we were listening to some stuff. I had a playlist I made for like our fall term. Basically, it was all music I was listening to fall term. And then I have like a winter one, but I kind of dug out the fall one. And I was like, let's listen to some stuff that I was listening to earlier. Kind of like going back. One of my best friends from home was just texting me. She's been listening to old One Direction and she's really funny. She was saying that it's very vanilla. And I was like, yeah, it's not even Madagascar vanilla. It's not even Tahitian vanilla. It is imitation vanilla flavoring.
Wow, that's a beautiful metaphor.
And their music did not age well. So it's very funny to me that she's listening to it because we're very big. And like a couple weeks ago, I was watching the Howard Stern. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Watched the Howard Stern interview and was texting her about that with Harry Styles. And then we've been mostly talking about Harry Styles for the past 2-3 years. So it's funny when she gets in these moods. And she told me that she listened to Up All Night, which is their first album, and found her old Juicy Couture body spray perfume and like sprayed it and listened. And she said it took her back. And I said that was too many senses at the same time of 2012.
But yeah, I get that. I've been listening to Justin a lot. I've been listening to like what I was listening to before, you know, because I'm trying to maintain a sense of normalcy. So what I was listening to before plus a little bit more because I just have more time. So a lot of Gex, many Gex. Gex get me hyped in the morning. And still listening to Liz. Her album is so amazing, Planet Y2K. It's so bubblegum pop, and you just like can't be sad listening to it. But then when I want to get in my feels, yeah, I put on Frank Ocean and like I put on The Weeknd. So it's all just what it was. But I feel like I have more time for music discovery now, which is cool. I'm checking out a lot of artists that I wouldn't normally listen to. So that's really fun. I genuinely like seeing what people are listening to, like on Instagram and stuff, and people share what they're listening to. I think that's a fun way to be like, I always want to check those people out. Now I actually have the time. So that's fun. But yeah, also Casey Musgraves, really great quarantine music because it's very relaxing and wet, all that.
This week is a big week for some new music out since this all kind of started, and Childish Gambino dropped an album on a Sunday or Saturday. Was it a Saturday? The 15th was a Saturday, right?
Well, no, it's like he didn't. Oh, did he drop it actually on the 15th? I was like confused because he dropped it like yesterday, but I think he dropped it on the 15th, but only on his website or something. And then it was on all other platforms like yesterday or the day before. But yeah, that's a long way of saying yes, the 15th was last Sunday. Like it was like the day after I got home. And this whole thing started.
Right. It didn't go on Spotify until yesterday.
Well, yesterday, yeah, exactly. So
which that was the first
chance that I had to listen to it, and for you too, I'm assuming. We're excited about that. It's been a while, I think, since he's released. I'm trying to think when his last project was released. Awaken My Love. I want to say 2016. Or 17 or something.
I'm not a big Childish Gambino.
Yeah, I have like a very specific slice of Childish Gambino's discography that I like. It's not really like early or current. It's like middle, I guess. Awaken My Love. I love whatchamacallit, Camp. Because the internet and Kawhi, like those, oh my god, I love those projects all so much. That takes me back to like 2013.
Well, the internet was a huge project.
Oh yeah, I love that album so much.
Yeah, so I mean, we both listened. Nicole listened to it all. I didn't. My only description of it is that it's avant-garde, and yeah. I think that once he releases visuals with it, it'll make more sense. For me, the sonic experience wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I feel like for me, it's the kind of album that I really need Cole Kushner to break down for me, because it's just so abstract and so like, I don't want to say pretentious because that's a mean term, but yeah. It was a little pretentious, I feel like. But I feel like also I'm just saying that because I don't understand it yet. I also, as a listener, I'm very not inclined to listen to lyrics. I'm only listening to, like, production and melody and vocal performance and that kind of stuff, that more sonic stuff. So I listened to it for the first time through today, and then I was, like, on Twitter or Instagram or whatever and saw people saying, like, oh my god, when he said this line, I felt that, and I literally could not tell you which song he said that in, or, like, where, like, I couldn't have told you if he was rapping it or singing it, or if it was a feature, because I just, like, don't pay attention to lyrics, which is a flaw for me as a listener, but I think that's an important part of an artist like him, as it is for many artists, so I need to probably give it another listen through, like, with lyrics in mind, and then maybe I'll understand it a little bit better. But yeah, in terms of like what I did listen for, which again is like production and stuff, I think that it's kind of, it's the same. It's like a lot of the songs are very like, oh, you have to be a certain way to understand this and what I'm going for here, a little gatekeepery in that sort of way. But that said, I thought there were a lot of songs that were really good. They were really well done, but it was like less than the ones that I thought were a little, like, going on a little bit too long. Like, there's, like, some 8-minute songs on here, like, 6, 7, 8 minutes, and usually I love a long song, but, like, not so much in this case. I also couldn't tell you which ones are the ones I liked, because they're named with, like, numbers.
They're named with numbers. I couldn't either. I know I liked Time, but I felt like the Time went too long.
Exactly. I totally agree. It was, like, good at the first 4 minutes. Is that the one with the Ariana feature?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I love hearing Ariana's voice, like, whenever, wherever, but, so I like that one. But yeah, it did go on a little bit too long, and the ones that I like, I really couldn't tell you, because I only kind of recognize them by their, like, production and again, what I was listening to. So
I think 2419 was a fan favorite. I saw that.
Yeah. That's like the longest one too, I think.
That's an 8 minute one. I just think that the lyrics, I obviously listen to lyrics because that's like a big thing for me. But I was noticing a lot of, I didn't know if it was my computer or not, but like an algorithm, I think on purpose, none of the beats matched up with what he was singing.
What do you mean?
Like, it felt like it was off by a beat.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if that's just me. I think it was that song. There was one song I was listening to that I thought was off by a beat.
I want to re-listen to it with that in mind.
I think it was that one, and I think it's because it's the song's called Algorithm, so it makes sense that it would be off. Like, there was just a part of it that I just felt like didn't fit in the instrumentation. And I know he's very into instrumentation. He plays, like, 1,000 instruments. Right. So, for me, the avant-garde part of it is in the instrumentation.
Yeah, I get that. Right. Of course, you listen to a popular artist and expect everything to be on beat and it being kept in a certain time. And so, when it's not, it's a little jarring. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that was a lot of people's initial reactions, but, like, the people who love him, because he is kind of one of those artists, like a Tyler, the Creator kind of artist with a really, really, like, dedicated but maybe not huge fan base, they're probably all jumping for joy, which is awesome, and overall, I like it, you know, it's all right. I just think it's a little bit gatekeeper-y. Yeah, maybe it's because I was listening to it while I was working, and I was like, I'm not deep enough to understand this while I, like, go about my
day. It's definitely music you have to, like, sit down and really think about.
Right, which is overwhelming for me sometimes, because I do like to have music on while I'm doing something. I don't know why. So, like, there have been times when I've, like, avoided listening to an album because I'm like, oh, I need time to sit down and listen to this. Yeah. And then it happens because I'm busy. But now, of course, I have time. So I'm glad that I got to do that kind of with this album, and I can probably do it again. Same thing with Jen's album, which we'll talk about too.
Right. I don't really have anything else for Childish Gambino, so I was going to segue into After Hours, which I think is a really great album. I listened to the whole thing. I really enjoyed it. The remixes at the end were a little interesting on the deluxe one.
That just came out today, I think.
Yeah.
When we're recording this on March 23rd. So I actually didn't listen to any of the remixes.
I only listened to the Blinding Lights one today just because, I don't know, and I like it, so it's good. I think that this sonically sounds great. Mm-hmm. I think it's confusing when it comes to the lyrics for some of them, because some of them are breakups and then some of them are, like, very, like, obvious that they're, like, love songs. So for me, it's confusing, but it probably just goes with the way that his relationships have been very on and off. I think that this is definitely one I'll come back to and listen to again. And I really like Blinding Lights. It's been on the top of my most recent playlist that I made since it came out. It's a really catchy, you know, I like the little piano part. And After Hours is really good too. And those are, like, the singles that I really like that came out. So, I mean, I have high expectations, quite honestly. And I think that they were met.
Yeah. I agree. I really love this album. It's definitely one that I'll be revisiting. Like I said, you know, I do tend to, like, focus on the production. And the production on this album is very, very, very good. I think it's, like, it's almost, like, perfectly balanced between familiar and, like, experimental, if that makes sense. Like, it's still The Weeknd, but it's kind of in a new light, and it's still what's popular right now, but with his own personal twist. I love that there are some parts, you know, where he's self-referential. I love that, where he's, you know, referencing lyrics that he's sung before in the past, which
I like that.
Yeah, isn't that the best? I love that about, especially in hip hop. Like, that happens a lot in hip hop, but it's like a little more rare in pop. But The Weeknd is the exception to the pop rule there. But yeah, the title track, I still am just absolutely obsessed with. I loved it since the first time I heard it. And that's the kind of song that, you know, should be 6 minutes. Like, I do not get sick of it. I want it to be longer. I think it's really, really strong because of all the reasons that I just said. Like, it's like the culmination of all of those things, the experimental production and, you know, just all that. So that was out, of course, before. So some of the newer ones that I really, really loved were Scared to Live, Snow Child, and I think In Your Eyes was the one with, like, a really great sax part, which was
In Your
really
Eyes was good.
Yeah, I think that's another fan favorite. I definitely liked it too. So I'm really excited to have this album on repeat for however long we're stuck inside. I've always loved The Weeknd since like 2011, and so it's really fun to have some new stuff from him.
Yeah, and some, like, now that we all are very attentive, I know that there are artists that are kind of struggling with that too. Dua Lipa had her album leaked before the release date. So Future Nostalgia was supposed to come out the first week of April, and it was leaked. She went on an Instagram Live yesterday, and basically she was in tears. I felt so bad that something she's worked so hard on and was putting so much effort into marketing it really well, and, you know, she's putting out all these music videos that are all so great, and now she's kind of having that taken away from her because her album cycle was supposed to be, she was supposed to put out next week a second, or is it a second or a third? I think at this point it's a third music video. And that's being pushed up to Wednesday just because there's no space for her to put it out and have it get the recognition it needs before the album comes out next, like, by Friday.
Yeah, that's too bad. I hate leakers, and I hate people who spread leaks around. I feel like in a normal climate, it's bad. But in this current climate that we're in, where we're all already on edge and we're all already, you know, looking to these artists and kind of being like, what's going to happen with them? How is this going to affect them? I know for me, at least, I want to protect them and do what I can to support them. Like you said last week, buy their merch and stream their music and support them. And so to just do the exact opposite of that, which is to leak and spread a leaked album, is just so disappointing. I also was so excited, and I still am excited for the new Dua Lipa album, because I really loved all the singles that she's released so far. I, of course, would never, ever listen to a leak. I don't listen to leaks, so I haven't heard it, so I'm still, like, excited. Right. But yeah, it is disappointing that that's horrible anytime, and then to do it now on top of everything else that's going on, it's just, like, get a life. Like, I know we're bored, but, like, do something else. Yeah, I feel really bad for her about that.
And it's not even just affecting her. It's affecting her entire team and everyone at her record label who have been working really hard and putting a lot of money into all of these accoutrements, if you will, that go with her album. You know, a whole marketing plan, an entire album cycle, an entire tour, everything that goes along with this album. It's very frustrating from my perspective to see that all happen, just because I know how much goes into it, and for someone to just take that away so quickly.
I thought
we were done with that. I thought we were leaking albums back in, like, the early 2000s, and I thought that we were done with that by now.
I totally agree. I would hate to be her label right now, just, like, dealing with that shit. I mean, it's always been part of the music industry, but, like you said, like, shouldn't we be done with that now? Like, you can't wait just a few more days to hear it for literally $10 a month or for free. Like, and that really sucks. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure, like, when Taylor's album Lover was about to come out late August last year, people were, like, rooting for it to get leaked. Like, they didn't have any power in doing in doing so, but they were like, oh my God, when is this shit gonna leak? When's it gonna leak? And then it didn't until literally hours before the album came out. I think like 5 p.m. So like just, it was just a few more hours till midnight and people still were spreading it around. And I obviously waited. I was like, well, now more than ever, like, of course I'm going to wait, but people are really just jerks about it. And I was really scared that Justin's album would leak and I'm really glad it didn't. It doesn't really happen a ton these days, but like when it does, it's still really disappointing. Lady Gaga's single leaked too, Stupid Love, earlier in the year. That sucks too. I mean, it's still like, it's pretty good. Like it debuted at number 5 on the Hot 100, which is pretty strong for having been leaked because usually it will take away streams from people who have already heard it during its debut week. And so that was impressive. Like she kind of rose above it, but in general, I don't know who is leaking these things and I want them to stop, whoever they are. It's not cool, but it's part of the music industry, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I know things used to get leaked because CDs and records would be sent to stores early and then
people exactly.
would be like, oh, I have it. But now it's just like, who is basically at the record label having access to it and not following protocol? Like that's exactly. The only reason that something could get leaked like that is if you have an early link and you work for the record label and you give it to someone, which is grounds for being terminated.
Absolutely. I think whoever it is should be terminated. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like in the past, like you said, it could have just been like a dumb like 17-year-old Target employee who doesn't know which way's up. But now it's like you gotta be really malicious to do that. You have to be really, really irresponsible or just like not care, like apathetic. I don't know. I could never imagine that, but yeah, apparently it still happens to high profile artists, which sucks. So let's get to it.
And speaking of leak, the Taylor Swift call.
Yes.
It's leaked this week.
So exciting. So, okay, first, can I just say that what my sister and I did yesterday was I curated like a 5-hour long YouTube playlist of Taylor Swift speeches, interviews, performances, music videos, behind the scenes videos, and anything else I could find from like the last 5 years or so. And we literally spent hours watching it all yesterday, and we watched the documentary like a week ago when I first got home, and it was like the third time I watched it. So the Taylor stand-up is really coming out right now in me. I don't know what it is, but I do turn to her in times of trouble. I do put on style and blank space. So it was just something we felt like we had to do. We were like, we don't want to watch a movie or a TV show. We just want to watch Taylor. And I curated like a really nice playlist. It's like, it's not in chronological order, but damn, it like works. Like it just flows. And so anyways, I'll stop bragging. I'm real bored. And then also my mom asked about the whole Kanye thing, like not just this, like the entire thing starting in 2009. And I started making her a PowerPoint presentation about it. I'm really bored.
Oh my God.
She was getting really frustrated with me because it was taking a long time because they wanted it to look nice. And she was like, I just want to know. So I just sent her like an article about it. But I'm still making the PowerPoint in case anybody else wants to see it.
Oh my God. We'll post the Google slide link.
Yeah, it's in Canva, but I'll get it up there soon.
Oh! We can post it as a slide post on Instagram.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't know if it'll fit though. There's a lot of fucking slides. Like I go a full timeline.
Oh, so maybe we'll just pick a few and we'll put it somewhere.
We'll put it somewhere. We'll figure it out. It's important. So anyways.
So basically it's a call of Kanye talking to Taylor and saying, hey, I wrote a song and I put your name in it. And she's like, maybe we shouldn't we shouldn't do this. And he's like, but my wife said it's fine. And I'm like, right, but I'm a feminist, and this is not, these are not feminist lyrics. And then he goes on to, like, say that he wrote worse lyrics and changed them to make it sound better.
Yeah, he's like, you're welcome, I changed it.
Right, and it's like, first of all, she, like, she was on Instagram and talking about, she wanted to divert the attention, so she posted on Instagram, on her story, like, instead of answering those who are asking how I feel about the video footage that was leaked, proving that I was telling the truth the whole time about that call, right, which was illegally recorded and edited in order to frame her, she diverted the attention and put up links for the World Health Organization and Feeding America, which I think, you know what, if we're going to use our celebrity platform, R as in Taylor Swift, if she's going to use her celebrity platform, I'm glad that she's kind of diverting the attention away from this, because she spent so much time. She literally took 2 years off of being who she is and going into hiding because of all of this. So why give more fuel to the fire, you know?
Talks a lot about it in the documentary, yeah, which, again, is fresh in my mind because I didn't watch it again. But yeah, it's important to remember that, like, she and Kanye were quote-unquote friends at the time because, like, I don't know, they had hung out at the Grammys, like, in 2015, and then she did the whole thing where she honored him at the VMAs and poked fun at it all, and she was like, Kanye, or she was like, whatever, all the other artists, I'm gonna let you finish, but Kanye West is one of the best artists of all time. And it was like this cutesy thing, and yeah, they made up. He sent her flowers. She posted about it on Instagram. It's all in my PowerPoint. And and so then after that, Kanye was like, okay, I'm gonna ruin it again and do what I do as Kanye and, like, put in some controversial lyric. And then he called her and was like, is it okay if I put in a controversial lyric? And she's like, is it mean? And he's like, no, why don't I just say it? Like, and then it took him so long to get it out. He was like stalling.
It was so frustrating.
It really was. Oh my God. And then eventually, you know, he says it, but he just says, like, I feel like Taylor Swift might owe me sex. And the actual line that is, like, out now, like, it's been out for, like, 4 years, is, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. So, like, he didn't include that part, and that was Taylor's original claim. And then Taylor, you know, she hears in the phone call, she hears the line, and she's like, okay, I thought you were going to call me, like, a dumb bitch or something, but I'm glad it's just that funny thing about sex, which, for whatever reason, like, whether you agree with her or not about what you'd rather be called or, like, whatever, she was telling the truth. And I don't know, it's like pretty cool, but I don't know, I feel like this a lot about stand-up in general. Like, now all her fans are calling Kim and Kanye snakes. They're like, who's the snake now? Like, okay, you obviously didn't like it when people did that to Taylor, so can you just, like, shut up? Like, we know, like, he's wrong. I know it feels good to be proven right. Like, we all love that. But I don't know. Just, like, let it go. Let this whole thing go. Because it's been going on just about, like, 10 years too long now. It's insane. It's insane. And it's always going to be one of those things in pop culture that's just, like, so important. But, like, in such an annoying way. Like, everyone's so equally sick of it, but also so interested to hear these, like, new additions to the story, but I'm sure as hell that she's sick of it, and I can't even imagine how Kanye feels about it. I don't know what goes through his mind ever.
I don't either.
But yeah, I was saying to my sister, I was like, I wonder if less people would care about this if we weren't all on quarantine. Like,
I mean, that could be for everything at this point. That could be true for the toilet paper situation. That could be true about everything. It's like everything is magnified because of this situation we're in, and it's also interesting because I'm finding myself on social media so much more, and I'm trying not to be, but at this point, I don't know what else to do because I want to keep up with what's going on, but I need to kind of limit myself because every time I'm looking at Twitter, I'm seeing like the death tolls and the numbers of people that are infected, and it's not good. So I'm trying my best to, you know, get outside. And today it rained all day and now it's finally sunny, but the sun is setting, which is upsetting. I know a big thing about being on social media right now is utilizing that Instagram Live, and a lot of artists are going on Instagram Live. Yeah. And it feels like when we're asked what's the future of the music industry and we're all talking about VR concerts, like that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's so funny to me because, yeah, that is all we're talking about at work too, is like, oh, we need ideas. What's some creative ideas we can use for clients, like to be, you know, still sensitive, but still acknowledge the situation. And a lot of it, like you're saying, is like, it's things that sound like AR and VR. And it's just so crazy to me because, like, we were talking about it being so far down the line. I thought I would have like mental time to prep for it, but we were just thrown into it instead.
Yeah.
Now here we are, and we don't have any time to like prepare for it or do anything in advance. We're doing every single thing as we go along. Like every day is a different challenge working in the music industry right now. Like we're just figuring out what is the protocol with doing X, Y, and Z that we normally do. Do we stop entirely? Do we change it? Do we, I don't know. Like it's just, it's so weird and confusing, and I feel like I'm so in a rush to figure things out because we have no time. It's not coming up. It's here. And it's a really weird feeling because we have all the time in the world, but also we have, like, no time at all. So it's, like, it's weird.
Yeah. There are a couple, like, situations that are somewhat interesting that are coming out of this, like Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus being on a live stream together and talking about Disney and talking about all of the like hardships they went through. And then like John Mayer is doing his thing he does every week, but he's doing it like multiple times a week. And I just feel like this is a really great opportunity for someone to come in and make an app that artists can just straight up live stream their concerts through from their rooms, you know? And
yeah.
It would take so much longer to develop, but it would have been a really cool thing to have right now.
I think the closest thing is Twitch, but that's, like, mostly gamers.
Right. So if there was some sort of Twitch, I'm sure someone out there is developing it or has it, just hasn't broken through, like, mainstream yet. But if there was a partnership with the major labels to get their artists on this platform and to be able, instead of, or even with, like, touring agencies, because I saw, like, Paradigm is laying off 100 people. You know?
That's so scary.
But right, yeah. But it's so, like, I saw it as a headline for Music Business Worldwide. Like, it's terrifying going into this industry, but what's happening is that these live shows, you know, they're not happening, and they have to cut costs somehow, and that's what they're doing. And unfortunately, it's either you lay people off, you cut their hours. We're last-term seniors looking for employment, and it's very scary.
Yeah, but it just feels really weird. And yeah, like you said, we're going to be looking for jobs, and basically half of what our jobs would have been, it's basically, like, slashed in half. But at the same time, I keep thinking, you know, shouldn't it theoretically just all go back into place once this is over? And I'm like, every day I'm starting to believe more and more that, like, no, this is going to have really long lasting effect. And it's just so weird to me because the last thing to have such a huge, like, bad effect on the music industry was piracy, and that didn't just happen one Thursday. Like, it took so much time, you know. There's this, like, incredible book I read about it. It was like a decade-long process of the MP3 being invented, and then this and that happened, and that happened, and, like, this was, all of a sudden, everything's different. Like, you woke up one morning, and everything was different, and it's never happened before, which means it's scarier than ever, because the unknown is scary.
Yeah. No, I know, and I agree. And I was talking to one of my friends who goes to a really small school in Worcester, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And when I was home, I actually went on a hike for, like, me social distancing and then ended up, like, seeing her. So we, like, awkwardly stood there, like, 6 feet apart and we're talking. It was, like, really awkward, but whatever. And she goes to a really small school that has a lot of really big traditions. Like, they have an all-day, like, drinking day, basically. They have a big weekend where they all go somewhere. They have all this stuff that she was looking forward to that she won't be able to have. And it's happening across the country where everyone that's our age isn't going to be able to do the last, you know, the last term of senior year of college stuff. Oh. And I think it's different for us because we're so removed from school in a way. Like, we're so separated.
I don't have any classes. Like, I just have one class keeping me here, but it's still like, I don't know. It's always like you're, when you're there, you're like, I'm not going to a party tonight because I have my whole rest of my senior year to go to a party. And now it's like, wait, I would have liked to maybe just go to one more party. Now I really can't. You know what I mean? Like, you know me, I don't love to party, but like not having the option and like knowing that, like, I don't know, like having the last quarter was always like so hopeful to me. Like, oh my God, like who knows what will happen in the last quarter. Now it's like the answer is nothing. You will go from your bed to the fridge to the couch and then that's it. And maybe hopefully get a virtual graduation ceremony. Definitely getting ahead of myself, but I can't help it because it is such a horrible, like, trying time. And that's not even going into like people's basic needs. Like, those are all such privileged things to be worried about. So it's very crazy. And I wanted to, like Abby said last week, I wanted to not talk about it, but there is absolutely no way to not talk about it because
But I also think that we're in a unique situation where throughout this project we've been documenting what's been happening through weekly podcast episodes. So we've been talking music news, but we've also kind of been talking about our lives in a way a little bit. So I think it'll be interesting, an interesting little thing that we can look back on and say, you know, we have this virtual archive essentially of us on, during our senior year of this big project that we got to do. And it's very hard. Like last night I was really in my moment about everything going on. I haven't really had like a big breakdown and I kind of did last night, and I don't want to say I feel guilty about doing it, but there are people out there that are struggling much more than I am. But also, it's okay for me to feel the way I am. Like, I shouldn't feel guilty for having the emotions that I do. Absolutely. I mean, an upside is that Josh is doing well. And and neither of us are sick. My parents, their business is doing really well because they sell deodorizers and hand sanitizers and disinfectants. So they've been working like overtime and they're doing well. Like, no one in my immediate family is sick. All of us are doing pretty well considering, you know, I have a lot of things to be grateful for. Right. And so, and so I've been journaling, and by I've been journaling, I meant last night after I started to feel this way. I was kind of just like writing down how I feel and seeing it out and seeing, you know, it's not anything in my control.
Right.
And if I can use coping mechanisms like listening to podcasts and listening to music and doing a little like workout in my living room with my resistance bands and jumping up and down on the floor so my neighbors hate me, but I'm getting my heart rate up, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for the runs that I've been going for around the dead Drexel and Penn campus and do what I need to do. And now we're at the point where I'm pretty sure you're in New York, you're at the same point where it's you basically only are going outside for basic needs at this point. It's like lockdown.
So my dad works in healthcare. He's like the CEO of a hospital that is like through the New York City Health and Hospital System. So he was actually out doing some of our essential needs like grocery shopping, like in places where they require that you stand 6 feet apart in line and they like only let a few people in at a time and stuff. And so he was like doing all that for us. And so it's true. I really don't We stocked up on food. I really don't have a reason to go out now. You know me, I have to force myself to get out even in normal circumstances. So, like, walking the dog is the best way. But also I'm here with my sister, who is absolutely my number one choice for if I had to ever be quarantined with someone. It's 1,000% sister. We are not sick of each other. We're not even close. So that's good. And we can just kind of, like, go off of each other and do what we want to do. Walk when we want to walk, stay inside when we want to stay inside. She cooks a lot. She makes all our food. And, like, so it's exactly like you were saying, like, the problems lie, like, at work for all of us. And problems lie in, like, our personal, like, oh, what about graduation kind of things. But, yeah, overall, in terms of just the big picture, we are both really, really grateful for what we have. And yeah, we want to help the people that are, like, that are actually hurting now. So it's just so crazy. But
so go stream some music, because at this point, that's, like, artists' main source of income. Yes. I know there are a lot of artists that are putting out or at least trying to sell their merch. So if you buy merch from artists, most of the income goes directly to the artist, besides offsetting, like, the profits are all going to the artists, essentially. Yeah. And then I know a lot of artists are also calling, like, big artists, celebrities are calling on donations to certain organizations. So if you feel that that's something that you can, A, afford, and B, you know, want to support someone, WHO is a really good organization. I know a lot of people are struggling in hospitals without masks, and I know that there are different donations you can help to provide that, and just kind of taking into account all of the things that we have said, you know, there are things to keep your mind off of it, off of the news, and take what you need, and don't do what you don't need. You know, maybe limiting social media time is good. Yeah. Follow us on Pop Opinions. I've been posting some fun things. And we will be on.
Sorry, I post my Taylor Swift playlist on our Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, yes.
That's a random fact that I had to slide in there real quick.
All right. Well, Nicole gave you some stuff to do. She'll give you the Taylor Swift playlist. You've got Taylor Swift documentary to watch. If you haven't seen the Jonas Brothers Happiness Begins, you can watch that now.
Watch all episodes of Seasons by Justin Bieber on YouTube.
Right. I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Josh because he's never seen it. So,
oh my God, I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine with my sister because she's never seen it.
My gosh, we're the same person. So, I mean, find things that bring you joy. Take those things. Count your blessings. Listen to some music. Yeah. And we will be back next week, hopefully, if there's something to talk about. If not, we will let you know. We're kind of playing it by ear just because the whole industry is playing it by ear. So if there's nothing to talk about, we don't want to continue talking about Corona if we don't have to.
Totally. But yeah, thanks for, like, sticking with us through weird circumstances and maybe weird audio quality and existential crises. Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
What the what's next? Go and cash your bad checks.
You got a white dick in your pocket. You bought a big hat, but you lost it. Cash in, cash out while you still can. So you waste time on your big dream, then you get scammed by a TV. Drop in, drop out, it's a good plan. Soft cold summer tan, racking up debt. Knocking, coming back in a cold sweat. So what you gonna do next? Go and cash a bad check. We're down and out, baby.
your bad checks.
What's next? Gonna cash your bad checks.
It was real life on the big screen. Watch the cool kids try to act mean. Crawling through the city on the hands and knees. You spent a bad year in the wrong bed. Start a new life where you play dead. Summer tan, racking up debt. Knocking, coming back in a cold sweat. So what you gonna do next?
Go and cash a bad check.
We're down and out, baby. I don't care. I wanna feel like a millionaire.
So let's get to it. Cash your bad checks.
If you have a credit card, then use it. If you don't, no problem. Just have your checking account number ready when you call.
Down and out, baby, I don't care. I wanna feel like a millionaire. Down and out, baby.
What's next? Go and cash your bad checks.